Hi, my name is Alan from LRV Property. Welcome back to my YouTube channel. In today's video, I'm going to talk about something special. I'll be talking about Budget 2025, my property wish list. I'm inspired to do this video after reading this article in the Business Times. ABSD tweak, housing affordability and urban rejuvenation lead property sector budget wish list. The article have mentioned the wish list for the upcoming budget from a few key stakeholders. From tweaking the ABSD for foreigners to relaxing the income ceiling for EC buyers to urban renewal. Here, I was just wondering, this budget topic really suit me. After all, I'm a budget agent. That is why you will never see me wearing branded clothing on video or in person. All my clothing are very budget one, either online or from Uniqlo. Anyway, let's head straight to the discussion. As reported in HDB press release on 4th January 2025, HDB fresh estimate for the 4th quarter 2024 resale price index is 197.7, an increase of 2.5% over that in the 3rd quarter 2024. This is lower than the 2.7% in 3rd quarter 2024. Based on the fresh estimate, resale flat prices for 2024 have risen by 9.6%. If you're still confused with the above, let me briefly explain to you. For the whole of 2024, HDB resale prices rose by 9.6%. In 2023, it increased by 4.9%. In 2022, it shot up 10.4%. And back in 2021, right after COVID, it chonged 12.7%. Yet in 2024, before COVID, resale HDB prices still shot up by 9.6%. This is very worrying if I compare it back to the 3rd quarter of 2019, when the HDB RPI is at its lowest. HDB prices have appreciated by a stunning 51%. If your income has risen by the same amount, then you are safe. If not, I think there is a cause of concern. The press release ends with this. Households are strongly advised to exercise prudence in their property purchase as the property market moves in cycle, and those who buy high will be hit harder if prices weaken. The government will monitor the property market closely and adjust its policies as necessary to promote a stable and sustainable property market. The authority has tried to cool the market with so many rounds of cooling measures, from tightening the loan-to-value ratio to ramping up supply in BTO flats, to impose 5% ABSD for PR buyers buying their first flat, to the 15-month debarment period. HDB also opened up more housing options for singles to buy BTO flats in all locations, including standard, plus, and prime housing projects. So much has been done, yet the HDB market cannot come down. What is actually happening? Is the rise in prices due to the surging private property market that make upgrading more challenging? Or is it because of more MOP BTO flats fetching record prices after record prices? Or is it because HDB flats have become a safe harbor for our aging population to take refuge in? Then, what about PR and new citizen? After all, they are the ones with more urgent housing needs. Lastly, is it due to HDB's very own success in building public flats that are even better than most heartland condos, yet at a relatively cheaper price? Even myself is tempted to stay in such when I one day retire. Near MRT station, near the town center, yet almost brand new. There's nothing more I can complain about. Here, I don't have an answer to them, but I got a feeling it's all the above. If HDB can share more historical data, I think that will be useful for us to dig out the possible answers and offer practical solutions. Today, executive condominiums are not cheap. As reported, EC prices have risen 40% from 1093 PSF in 2019 to 1531 PSF in 2024. Based on the maximum household income ceiling of 16,000, EC buyer can only borrow a maximum of around 1 million from the bank, with more new EC prices ranging from 1.3 million to 1.8 million. This means most new EC buyers have to come up with significant cash to fund their purchases. Even for mortgage service ratio to be raised from 40% to 30% for new EC launches. However, this could also spell problem downstream. If the income ceiling and MSR are raised, this means more buyers will be eligible to buy ECs. More buyers equal to more demand. More demand means developers will bid higher and indirectly sell you at a higher prices. Again, this is a chicken and egg situation. Here, this is what I'm going to propose. Increase the income ceiling and the MSR ratio so that more HDB upgraders can afford them. But at the same time, introduce a clawback when the EC is sold in the resale market. After all, most EC in the past years have made significant profit, just like their BTO counterpart. This is the same approach for the PLH model since they are heavily subsidized during the onset through government policy. The government can indirectly control the selling prices but not the resale prices after the MOP. The MOP for EC should also be raised to 10 years, which obviously will not be popular. A longer minimum occupation period of 10 years aim to safeguard this EC for Singaporeans, especially so those with genuine housing needs, and strengthen the owner occupation in them. In addition, renting out the entire EC will not be allowed even after MOP. This will indirectly bring down the prices of future EC. The authority can also consider ramping up EC supply as how they address the HDB BTO market. Ultimately, who or what? Obviously, more EC buyers can buy at a lower prices. They can finally upgrade to a private property within their means. This is a win-win situation. Buyers are happy, voters are happy. Big what again? But this will come at a cost to the private property market. This brings us to the next section. No doubt, the UIA property price index is at a record high. It has continued to push higher with each year. Many factors push up the index. The key question is that sustainable? Revising household income, yes, some will be able to afford them. But what about the rest? Sorry, I don't have the data on affordability. Hence, I can't comment much on it. However, the key metrics are, can a HDB owner upgrade to a private property with ease today? If yes, then business as usual. If not, this is something the authority will need to address. My wish list for the private property market is a more sustainable property market in line with rising household income. Most HDB upgraders would love to upgrade within their means. Prices shouldn't run ahead of fundamental. If it is a constant chase of FOMO, then many will lose hope in this shining red dot. Some may even choose to migrate instead. This is ultimately not a healthy outcome for Singapore. Some segments of the industry have been pushing for the reduction of the ABSD from the punishing 60% to a lower degree. I mean, the intent of the ABSD is to reduce the inflow of hot foreign money that will destabilize the local property market. One cannot control where are they buying. Should we restrict them to only the core central region? Or maybe restrict them to only new launches instead of the resale market? If we restrict only in one area, then what about the other? Those on the other side of the fence will also complain it's unfair. This will indirectly create additional anxiety and confusion. If ABSD is to be reduced, it should be spread across for all Singaporeans and PR too. But will the authority reduce it with the URA PPI at a high now? Any reduction will send the PPI to a record new level. This means properties will become really unaffordable for the masses, and this will not go down too well with Singaporeans. With an upcoming general election, I doubt anyone will take the risk to take on such adventure. Let's face it, we need more babies. Our total fertility rate has fallen to a historical low of 0.97. For the first time ever, Singapore resident total fertility rate has dropped below 1.0. How can we encourage more young people to have babies, from baby bonus to tax relief for parents to government-paid paternity leave? At the present moment, the only incentive for couples is to have more children is the third child priority scheme. Frankly speaking, how many couples have 3 children nowadays? When our birth rate is so low, the game plan has to change to be more enticing. Since Singaporeans love BTO flats so much, this means we should relook into our housing policy. This is what I'm going to propose. For the start, all first-timers should have an equal chance to book a 4-room or smaller BTO flat according to prevailing priority conditions. This should encourage them to start a family at the onset if they want to. For the bigger 5-room flats, they should only be reserved for those who have children since they are always in higher demand. For second timers, those that have one child should be given a slightly higher priority to book a second BTO flat. Likewise, for those who have two children, they should be given a higher priority to book a second BTO flat. For those that have three or more children, they should be given the highest priority to book a bigger 5-room flat since they need more space. This policy should also be adopted for new ECs. Yes, I know, at this junction, those who prefer not to have will feel disappointed. Some may even feel marginalized. Staying single, getting married, and not having children is very much a personal decision. Here, we have to respect that. But for those that need help, more support should be a priority for them. This is aligned with what Minister Indrani Rajah has said in Parliament on Population at the Committee of Supply debate back on 28 February 2024. She shared widely what was done to address the low birth rate. She also said, fundamentally, we need more Singaporeans. A strong Singapore citizens is the bedrock and wellspring of a thriving nation. We must hence continue to support Singaporeans in starting and raising family. That says it all. In some of my earlier videos, I mentioned the need to preserve a part of our built heritage. This is especially so for old iconic buildings that have significant architectural values. Unfortunately, many of them are torn down for the sake of redevelopment. I mean, they hold values to us, right? As a Singaporean, we want something that forms a part of our built heritage to be preserved. That is why the various stakeholders should seriously look at conserving more of such buildings before they are torn down. This is especially so for those that are sitting on the edge of a collective sale. I propose GFA incentive can be used as a carrot for developers to preserve part of any iconic buildings they are worth preserving. The layout can also be reconfigured to suit the needs of today's occupants. The interior can also be retrofitted to meet modern use. By reducing the needs for the total demolition, this means our carbon footprint can be drastically reduced. The turnover time can also be speed up. This is also in line with the Singapore Green Plan 2030 to create a green, livable and sustainable home for all Singaporeans. With that, I come to the end of my budget 2025, my property wish list. Hopefully, the authority can adopt some for their future reference. Since it's the first day of the Chinese New Year, may I wish everyone in this community stay healthy, stay happy, and may you hang on, hua la, in 2025. Thank you for watching.